Vitira be'emes, and you'll see in truth, she'kvar le'yuchal shum bal seichel, that no thinking person, lahamim, could believe, she'tachlis b'riyas adam, that the reason for creating man, hu l'matzavo b'olam hazeh, is for his station in this world. Ki mahim chayei ha'adam b'olam hazeh, because what is man's life in this world? O mihu she'sameach v'shalav mamish b'olam hazeh, and who is the person who's really happy and tranquil in this world? Yimesh Nosenu Baim Shivim Shana, the days of our years are but 70. Vim Begvura Shmonim Shana, and with exception, there'll be 80 years. V'rabam Amal V'Evin, and the bulk of them are labor and vanity. Bekame Minei Tzar, with various types of pains. V'chaloyim, and sickness. U'makovim, and pains, with trados, and issues and worries. V'acha Kolzos, and after all of this, Hamoves is death. Echad Minei Elef, not one in a thousand, will find that the world showers upon him true pleasures and tranquility. And even that one in a thousand, when he gets to 100 years of age, for Aval, he's already passed, and his days are finished. If you look at the wondrous world in which we live, it would sure seem that Hashem could have done a better job at creating man. You look at such wonders, such astonishing sophistication. Look at the wild kingdom. You see so many different features, so much wisdom, and then you see man. And if you contemplate the world and contemplate man, I believe one of the questions that a thinking person should come to is it seems that Hashem could have done a much better job at creating man. Let me share with you what I mean. There was a karate practitioner whose name was George Dillman. George Dillman was a very famous, well-known martial artist, and he was a bit of a showman. George Dillman used to put on various demonstrations. He would break wood, then bricks, and various different things. Finally, George got to the point where he ran out of things to break, and he decided he was going to put on the ultimate karate demonstration. He was going to fight a bear. Now, he was bright enough to realize that he can't fight a real bear, but what he did was he brought in a circus-trained bear, had the trainer choreograph a fight scene. They worked on it for a certain while, and then he called the demonstration. The audience is gathered. The curtain spread. George walks out, and the trainer brings in the bear, a hulking, massive bear. And the trainer stands in the middle, releases the bear, and man versus beast, the fight begins. The bear circles around. George circles around. The bear swings. George ducks. And George went through the fight scene almost the way it was choreographed, except one little thing. You see, George took himself seriously, and maybe a tad too seriously. He decided that morning, instead of going through the choreographed fight scene as they had arranged, he was going to make headlines. He was going to actually knock the bear out. At a certain point, the bear swings wide, George ducks, and George hauls off and smashes the bear full force in the chest. You could hear the thud three rows back. Now, needless to say, George did not succeed in knocking the bear out. But he did manage to get the bear angry. So angry, in fact, that had the trainer not somehow stepped in to stop the bear would have killed George. George Dillman learned a very important lesson that day. You could be a highly trained martial artist with many years of fighting experience, but you can't fight a bear. A bear is just too powerful. 650 pounds of solid muscle, man versus beast, man loses. So here's the question. Why didn't Hashem make man powerful and strong like a bear? Take the same essence, same neshama, and put it into this hulking, powerful beast. Wouldn't man stay on the planet, been much more comfortable, much more successful? If you're not sure what I mean, imagine it's a cold February evening and you're shivering to the bone. Think of a polar bear. The polar bear goes in the Arctic and cuts a hole in the ice with his claw, goes in for a nice dip, comes out, shakes off the water, and suns himself in the negative 20 degree Arctic sun. The polar bear is comfortable in very extreme temperatures. Why didn't Hashem make man big and strong like a polar bear? And the next time you smash your shin or bang your elbow and you're feeling the pain, and you realize that animals in the wild are far more durable, far tougher, you should ask yourself, why didn't Hashem make me bigger, stronger, and tougher? But while we're asking questions, let's ask another question. You ever get a toothache, a throbbing, ow, toothache? Well, if you study the wild kingdom, you'll know that the shark has 25 rows of teeth. 25 rows of teeth, one set in back of the other, so that if the shark has a trouble with one of its tooth, it pops it out, and the next one comes in, one after another after another. Sharks don't need dentists. Sharks don't need crowns. Sharks don't have that problem. Why didn't Hashem make man with 25 rows of teeth so that if he has a problem, pop, and comes the next? And while we're asking questions, here's another question that's even more interesting. Why did Hashem create disease? And why did he leave gaping holes in the immune system? Let me share with you an example of what I mean. Michael Zasloff, a biologist with the National Institute of Health, made an interesting discovery. He was experimenting on the African clawed frog, a very small little frog, and what he discovered was that when they would operate on these frogs and put them back into the murky, bacteria-filled bogs that they lived in, these frogs never got diseased. And upon studying it further, upon more research, he discovered the why. The African clawed frog emits a white secretion that kills every known bacteria on the planet. The little African clawed frog doesn't get diseased because it has an immune system that's impervious to bacteria. Now think about that. Over the millennium, how many millions of people died because of bacterial disease? Before penicillin, it was the scourge of nations, killed out untold numbers of people. If Hashem is wise enough to invent this secretion that kills every known antibody and every known bacteria, why didn't Hashem give that to man? Why didn't Hashem make man bigger and stronger and tougher with a perfect immune system? It sure does seem that Hashem could have done a better job at creating man. And I'd like to extend this line of questioning one more level. You ever notice that sometimes you're in a good mood and sometimes you're not? Well, scientists now tell us that much of our moods are affected by the level of neurotransmitters in our brain. A mix of serotonin, dopamine, various different adrenaline, noradrenalines, different neurotransmitters that directly affect our mood. Now, there are different ways to change that balance. Runners know something as runner's high. If you exercise vigorously for 45 minutes, the body secretes a greater level of these neurotransmitters and is a mild sense of euphoria. And if you exercise aggressively, you feel a sense of, calm and happy. There are ways to different medicines. Antidepressants cause an increase in these neurotransmitters. Now, here's the question. Hashem created the thalamus, that very sophisticated part of the brain that's very, very sensitive to these neurotransmitters. Hashem created the glands that secrete these neurotransmitters. Why didn't Hashem make those glands just a bit more active, maybe a bit larger, and have man be happy all day long? Imagine the following. Imagine you wake up in the morning and you stretch your arms and the glands secrete a heavy dose of those neurotransmitters. Wow! To be alive. You sit down to your first glass of orange juice and another wave of mild euphoria overcomes you. Hashem is capable of creating these features. The proof in the pudding is that he did this. So why not make the thalamus a tad more sensitive? Why not make the glands just a tiny bit more active? And man would be happy. Man would be happy from morning to night all day long. And as a matter of fact, at the risk of being a bit irreverent, imagine with me the following. Imagine that one day I hear a baskel, a heavenly voice, and it sounds like this. Rabbi, we hear up in Shemayim that you have many complaints about the way that Hashem created man. I'm not saying complaints, I was thinking, if you have complaints, go ahead, you make man. And I'm given a mandate. I'm given permission to create man. What a man I would create. My man would be big and strong like the polar bear. My man would have rows and rows of teeth like the shark. My man would have acute hearing like the bat. My man would be like a camel able to go weeks on end without water. My man would be fast. My man would be incredibly happy. I would create him with a gland as large as a coconut. My man would be happy as a lark all day long. Oh, and another couple of things. You know the thing called anger? I wouldn't put it in my man. What about competition and jealousy? No way. It hasn't served man any good at all. I would make a Superman, powerful and strong, and my man would be happy. So here's the question. It's clear that Hashem has the capacity to create this man because he gave these various features to other parts of the living world. If the reason for creation is man, if Hashem laid the banquet table and after everything was set, invited in his guest, if Hashem made everything for man, wouldn't you imagine that Hashem would take all the features, all the great things, put them together and make a Superman? A Superman who can enjoy his stay on the planet, a Superman who'd be impervious to pain, impervious to disease, a Superman who would be happy all day long. And yet that's not the way that Hashem made man. Hashem made man this sort of dependent yet somewhat independent, and sort of healthy but sort of weak, sort of very, very strong and at the same time very fragile. And explains in Mrs. Lasharim, one of the basic concepts that any thinking person will come to is that if a person assumes that Hashem created man for his station in the world, a person will quickly see that Hashem did a terrible job. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Lasharim says, no thinking person can ever believe that Hashem created us for our position in this world only, because again, then Hashem did such a bad job that it's clearly planned inefficiently. Says Mrs. Lasharim, just studying the human condition, studying the human being, screams out that Hashem created us not for this world, but for the world to come. And while that's obvious, it's only when you think about it, and only when you dwell upon it, that it becomes as clear as glass. Yet, people live their whole lives without thinking about this, people live their whole lives without realizing it, and people live with this incredible inconsistency. And if you ask people, why are you living? Why are you doing this? They'll come up with all kinds of reasons. We're doing it to make the world a better place. We're doing it for the next generation. We're doing it to leave the world richer and better than when we came into it. And if you press these people with the following line of question, tell me, sir, is your life great? No. So why are you living your life? I'm living it for my children. So could you explain to me why you'd want your children to live that life? And I'd like to share with you how deep this question is. I was once speaking to a young man who said to me that the one question that plagued him, he was in the process of studying about Judaism, he had a question that plagued him, that had plagued him for years. He had asked this question to every man of science, every man of learning, every wise person he could. The question was, why have children? Why have kids? But I want you to understand the depth of his question. His question wasn't, why have kids because then I have to spend my hard-earned money on them? Why have kids because then I can't have fun? No, he was much deeper than that. Why have kids when you're bringing a child into such an ugly world? Why take an innocent child and bring him to such ugliness, to such pain? Because you want to be a father? Because you want to have a family? Why would you do that to an innocent kid? And he told me that he went around asking this question for years and could not find a satisfactory answer. Now, I'd like to share with you the wrong answer to that question. And the wrong answer to that question is, you're right. Life is very hard. Life is rough. But it's worth it because in the world to come, it'll be so great that it all pays off. Meaning you're right, life stinks, but the world to come is so great that it's all worth it. Now that's 100% correct, that's 100% true, but that's the wrong answer to that question. Would you like to know the right answer to the question? The right answer to that question is that when you understand life, life is beautiful. When you understand why Hashem created us, then there's a joy, there's a happiness, there's a satisfaction deep within the human, and life itself is beautiful. If you walk around thinking life stinks, there's only one reason, because you don't understand life. If you look about this world and your entire existence ends in the grave, then you are correct. God did a terrible job. When Alan Dershowitz says that God rates a B minus, he's wrong. If you are critically honest, if you really open and you assume that life ends in the grave, then God rates an F because Hashem did a terrible job. But says the Mesillat Yesharim, that's exactly the point. Don't you get it? If you understand that Hashem is good, magnanimous, and generous, if you understand that Hashem created us to give to us, and you look at the human condition, you'll quickly understand there's got to be a lot more to the picture. It can't end in the grave, because then you'd be right. Hashem would rate an F. But once you see the big picture, once you understand life fundamentally, then life makes a tremendous amount of sense, and then the human condition makes sense. Why is it that Hashem created man in this very fine, delicate balance? Do you know why? Because man was created for a purpose. After drinking, after eating certain foods, we make a borei nefoshos. Borei nefoshos rabbos. Hashem, we bless you. Thank you, Hashem. You created many, many types of existences, many creations. The chesronon. You created many, many nefoshos and all of their needs and all of their lacks. Every single creation, every single creature has needs and has lacks, and man has more needs than any other creation. Man has needs for health, man has needs for food, man has needs for shelter. Man is very, very needy. And you know why Hashem created man that way? Not because Hashem isn't good, not because Hashem isn't capable, but because Hashem created man in the perfect balance, where if man wants to become arrogant, he could have the sense of independence. I don't need anyone. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I'm rich. And he could live a life of delusion and think all the while that he's the master of his fate. Yet man is also in perfect balance that he could recognize his vulnerability. He could recognize that I am but a mortal flesh and blood. One bullet and it's over. One car crash, and I, the great me, the powerful me, am no longer. In this perfect balance, man is able to be humble and recognize his dependence upon his Creator, or if he wishes to, he can reach the sense of independence and arrogance. He's capable of going either way. But you see, man has been created in that perfect balance. And with many, many needs, man is perfectly suited to recognize his relationship with his Creator. His relationship to his Creator is creation and creator, giver and receiver. I am dependent upon Hashem. I rely on Hashem. I turn to Hashem. But my entire essence allows me to feel that. All of my chesronos, all of my lacks allow me to turn to my Creator and say, Hashem, I can't do it. I can't do it without you. I can't earn a living without you. I can't survive without you. Please help me. I am dependent upon you. But man has been perfectly balanced to live a life of illusion or a life of truth. He can just as simply go to the left and say, I don't need God, I don't need anyone, I'll live forever, I'm powerful and independent. And he's also just as capable of going the other way and recognizing that I'm but a creation, highly dependent on my Creator, and absolutely relying on Hashem. And this human being in perfect balance is the reason for creation. When you understand this, life fundamentally makes sense. When you don't understand this, nothing under the sun makes sense. Not the sun, not the moon, not the planet, not the oceans, nothing, and certainly not man. And if you don't yet hear this very clearly, the next time you feel pain, that's the time to say to yourself, why? Why? Why did Hashem create pain? Why did Hashem create suffering? Why did Hashem create so many things in this world that makes man's life on the planets, his stay, very, very difficult? Pain is so sophisticated. Pain is so ever-changing. There's a pain when you cut your skin, and there's a pain when you smash your knee. There's a pain of a migraine, and there's a pain of a toothache. There's a pain that's deep in your bones, and there's a pain that's surface deep. And pain comes in so many different flavors and nuances. You could write poetry about the different types of pain. And the question is, why do it? Why create all these types of pains? Why put it in man? And when you begin to understand that Hashem is more generous, more magnanimous, more giving than anything we could ever imagine, the question becomes far more acute. And if you're going to think there's no answer to the question, that's not correct. Will we know the exact answer for every question in every situation? No. But once you understand what the Maaseh Sharm is telling us, once you understand that this world is the gym, then we have an entranceway, we have a perspective to answer all of these questions. Many, many life situations were given to man strictly as the opportunity to overcome. Many, many situations Hashem puts man into strictly to allow him to have a different perspective, to allow him to look at things differently, to allow him to feel differently, and to allow him to sense things differently. Hashem created us with a tremendous opportunity. We were put on this planet, given a chance to grow, given a few short years, and then we leave, and forever we are that what we shaped ourselves into. And everything on this planet, everything that we experience, has been custom designed, handmade to allow us to have that perfect opportunity in perfect balance, left or right. You can go either way. It's up to you. When you understand this, life makes sense. When you understand this, the human condition makes sense. You look at your body with awe and wonder. You see the vastness, you see the sophistication, you see disease states, and you say to yourself, wow, what astonishing wisdom Hashem put into man and created him in such perfect balance, perfectly situated to grow or to shrink, to accomplish or to do the opposite. And you begin to understand fundamentally why Hashem created man, what Hashem wants from man. Should a person be happy? He sure should be. Should he feel a sense of purpose and meaning? He sure should be. But it's only when you understand life that life really makes sense. And if you press someone against the wall and ask them, okay, you don't believe in the world to come, so explain to me life. Explain to me your human condition. Explain to me your existence. You get blank stares. And I'd like to share with you a comment, and it may sound facetious, and it may sound negative, but I sincerely believe it. If you believe that life ends in the grave, you assume that we and Elsie the cow have the same end, then I'd like to share with you a piece of advice. Find a bridge and jump. Find yourself a tall building and take a leap off. Why? Because life is worthless. Life doesn't make sense. And I'll share with you simply why. Take all the pleasures that you have in your life. Take all the pain that you have in your life. Put them on balance. I almost guarantee that there's more troubles, issues, worries, daigas, and things on the negative than there are on the positive. Oh, life has its moments, life is sweet, and there are such things as nachas and enjoyment. I grant you that. But look at the amount of pain and suffering that you go through when you open your eyes in the morning and you're cranky and you're tired and you have to go to work and you have to do this and you got a toothache and a headache and you have to put up with annoying people and you have situations and you have trouble. And it doesn't matter, because no matter how grand your life is, no matter how great you have it, I guarantee you will have a tremendous amount of trouble. Says the Maaseh Sharm, not one in a thousand has that life of Riley. We all dream, if I had Yenim's life, oh, if only I had his situation. And then you study his situation. If he doesn't have problems with his in-laws, he has problems with his wife. If he doesn't have problems with his wife, he has problems with his kids. If he doesn't have problems with his kids, he has problems with earning a living. If he doesn't have problems with earning a living, he has problems with his health. Everyone has issues and troubles and worries, and I deal with it on a regular basis. To be very candid, I speak to people all the time, and people unload. And while on the face of it, everyone's smiling and happy, you hear an entire world of troubles and issues and worries. And there are many, many tzaras in the Klai Yisrael, but these are good people. These are people who are leading a life properly. And it's not by accident. It's because Hashem has designed the human with this, because there's a grand purpose in life. But if you sincerely believe that life ends in the grave, and you do an analysis, put your pleasure on this side, put your pain on this side, and you'll quickly see that for most of us, the pain outweighs the pleasure. So why do you live? Why do you continue? For the kids. I earn a lot of money, spend that money, earn some more money, and spend that money so that my kids can then earn some money, spend some money, earn some money, and die, so that their kids can earn some money, spend some money, earn some money, and die. And you quickly realize that life makes no sense. And all of those words that people say to leave the world a better place, to make the next generation better, are worthless, empty, and life fundamentally is illogical. If a person were critically rational, if a person were absolutely objective and believed that life ended in the grave, they should jump off that roof. Why? Because there's no point in it. It's empty, meaningless, vain, and who cares? Once you understand life, then life is beautiful. Life in this world and the world to come. Once you understand that Hashem put us here to grow, to accomplish, once you understand that there's meaning and purpose, you understand the preciousness of every moment, you understand that every moment is an opportunity to change myself and change the world, there's a zest, there's a love of life, and you wake up in the morning with energy, you wake up in the morning with, wow, let's conquer myself. And that energy is palpable, it's powerful, it's inspiring, it's empowering, it's the greatest feeling. But it's only when you understand life that you have that feeling. And if not, life is empty and shallow, foolish, and a purely logical person would end it. Hashem doesn't want the world to end, so Hashem puts blinders in man's eye. Just as man can't see his death, he can't ever think through 100% logically this concept, because if he did, I'm here to share with you, the vast majority of the occupants of the planet would cease existing by their own volition. But because that's not the way Hashem wants the world to work, Hashem allows us to live in a state of denial. And even though life doesn't make sense, and even though from a rational, thought-out perspective I would end it, I don't, because I have this delusion, it's okay, it'll be better, there's hope, there's glimmers. The answer, of course, is there's hope, and of course there's meaning, but the reason for it is because Hashem created the world for a purpose. I'm here for a few short years to grow, to accomplish, and then life itself is meaningful and purposeful. When you study the human condition, you understand life. And this is what Sharm is sharing with us. Look at the human body. Look at the wild kingdom. See all of the strength that Hashem put out there, and no one understands that Hashem could have given us all of those strengths. The thick coat of the beaver is very comfortable on man, but Hashem didn't create us with that thick coat. Hashem created us vulnerable. And when you go out into the freezing cold and you're shivering to the bone and you say the words, Lefnei karoso miyamod, Hashem, in front of your cold, who can stand? Big, mighty me, independent, powerful. And I go out there and shiver to the bone, and the big arrogant me ain't so arrogant all of a sudden. But you have to understand life. You have to understand that Hashem custom designed the world and custom designed us specifically for this purpose, allowing us to grow poised for perfection, but brilliantly balanced. Either way, just as easy. Either way, within man's capacity. Man has been brilliantly crafted to grow with all of his needs, with all of his dependencies, with all of the opportunity to turn to his creator and say, Hashem, I rely on you. You are my master. I am your servant. And man just as easily can go the other way. When you study the human, you understand life. When you study the human, you understand the perspective. I'd like to close with one last mushel. I consider this mushel one of the most pointed and most powerful mushelim that I know that define exactly the point that the Mesil Sharm is sharing with us. The mushel goes like this. Frank and Joe were college roommates. Frank and Joe were good buddies. And Frank used to feel real bad for Joe. There was Joe the geek studying. He'd study his books day and night, night and day. Frank was out there on a campus having a good time partying, and he'd come back and see poor Joe the geek studying all day. Now, Frank was a nice guy. He tried to take care of his buddy Joe, but you know, these geeks, they never learn. Well, anyway, the years passed. Joe went on, graduated, went to medical school, became top surgeon in his field. Frank graduated, never could really find a job. And many years later, Frank and Joe meet up when Frank is behind the fish counter cutting fish in a large supermarket. Joe drives up in his imported sports car, parks the car, puts on his $2,000 custom suit, walks into the grocery, and who does he see behind the fish counter but Frank, Joe, old buddy, they hug, how you doing? And at that moment, Frank says to Joe, hey, Joe, that's a really nice car you got there. Thank you. And Joe, that's a really nice suit you're wearing. And Joe turns to Frank and says, Frank, well, I really like your apron. Your apron's real nice too. And it's at that moment that Frank gets it. Joe is living the life of Riley. Joe works 4 hours a day, maybe six, 4 days a week. He has all the money he needs, and he has a family, and he created for himself a life that's beautiful. But he did it because he spent time working. And Frank is now behind the fish counter cutting fish, probably for the rest of his life. But it's not just that moment. It's every moment of Frank's life when his kids say to him, how come Joe takes his kids here and there? How come Joe has it so good? And for the rest of his life, Frank knows that he blew it. You see, he was in school anyway. He might as well have just studied. He didn't really gain anything. And for the rest of his life, he kicks himself. Why didn't I? Why couldn't I? I should have, could have, and would have. My friends, if that mushel sounds simplistic, it's not at all. Because every one of us will leave this current existence and will look back and say the words, oh, what I could have done. Oh, what I could have accomplished. The beauty of being alive is there's an opportunity to grow, to accomplish. As long as there's blood in my veins, as long as there's breath in my lungs, I could change, I can grow. That's the meaning of life. That's the opportunity of life. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant you tremendous atzlacha and bracha in all that you do.